We're talking with Zealand Congressman Bill Heisinger. Bill, of course, had work under Pete Hoekstra when he was in Congress earlier, before he became the congressman in 2010 to represent the Holland-Zeeland area. Bill, your experience with Pete means that you've had some experience in the foreign affairs situations. Pete was the former House Intelligence Committee chairman. Your take on the matters, first of all, since last we chatted about the plane being shot down over the Ukraine and the diplomatic fallout that has come after that.
Well, as you point out, I mean, that's been fallout, there is no doubt. Russia is has, and specifically Putin, I believe, have a responsibility to step up and really try to calm things down in that region. Their actions, I believe, led directly to the circumstances that allowed for this shooting down. And yesterday, I spent some time at the Dutch embassy. They opened up the condolences book there. We'll be leading a moment of silence here at the House regarding this. This is significant. If you look at the proportionality of this, it's like us losing, 3,000 or 4,000 of our citizens. So this is a significant impact in not only in Europe but on the world.
The other foreign affairs story going on is the situation involving Israel and Hamas, the battling in Gaza, the lifting of the FAA ban on commercial flights to and from that nation, but it's another sticky situation in a very troubled part of the world.
Yeah, and as someone with some very close ties to Israel pointed out to me, he said, you know, look, this is a sanction without calling it a sanction. The FAA restriction on flying into Israel. So I'm not quite sure why the administration is taking this or had taken the stand. I think it sort of backfired on them a bit. But obviously, no one wants to see the deaths and the casualties on either side. Obviously, I believe that Israel has a right to protect itself and what's been going on, and Hamas and Hezbollah have been targeting Israel for a long time here. So, terrible situation, but we need some real leadership out of our own government.
I'll touch upon that in a moment. Just maybe taking devil's advocate for a second, do you think that the FAA sanctions was a knee-jerk reaction after what happened in the Ukraine, that they didn't want to have a similar situation happen in Israel?
Good question. It doesn't really seem to be that so much as a way of just trying to pressure Israel. That's a significant hit to them, not allowing U.S. flights in. And the crazy part is that there's far more dangerous parts of the world that that we allow flights going in and out. So it's something just doesn't quite add up there.
You mentioned leadership in the White House and the Israeli situation, but if you tie these two incidents, what happened in the Ukraine and the Israeli situation together, does that add to a general consensus or a general feeling that perhaps the White House's foreign affairs policy is just not up to snuff?
I think we have both friends and foes around the world that are trying to figure out what our foreign policy is, and it's important for our friends to know for obvious reasons. But it's also, frankly, important for those who we oppose to understand what is our direction, and if we're going to respond. And I think that's led to things happening in North Korea and Iraq and other places. When we don't really have or seem to have a coherent foreign policy.
We're talking with Zealand Congressman Bill Heisinger. Let's get a little closer to home. A report out of Washington says the House Republican Task Force is unveiling a $1.5 billion plan to deal with the border crisis. The Washington Times reports that the plan calls for deploying the National Guard to assist in achieving operational control of the border. It's another byproduct of the immigration crisis involving the youngsters getting into this country, and it just seems as if that issue has been put on the back burner by foreign affairs, but it was not going to be in the back burner for long.
No, we had a conference meeting about it yesterday. Clearly, we've got to do something about this. This is a huge impact, it is a crisis. So I would argue that it's a crisis that has at least partially been created, or the atmosphere has been created by a vague or a clouded leadership and policy by this administration. I think that those Central American countries, they don't want to lose their citizens. They don't want to lose their kids. But there's way too many, ill-informed people that think they're going to have some sort of automatic pass when they get into the country. And we've got a responsibility with the government, and the administration has a responsibility to be very clear that that's not the case. And they have not been clear on that.
Is there a fine line between trying to adhere to the law and being humanitarian about those coming here to take care of their needs before maybe sending them back, but still taking care of their needs because of the fact that they're basically misinformed, perhaps, but they're here and they need help?
Sure, there is a fine line, which is why that original law was created in 2008, how to deal with people that are being exploited, especially kids, and being trafficked in the system. Then we have to deal with that. I think we need to give these kids a proper review. But then for those that are just simply trying to escape economic hardship, I think frankly they need to go back, because this is not new. I've had family members. My wife and my daughter were just in Honduras last summer, for example. I've spent time in Central America. This is not Michigan, there's no doubt. But I don't believe that the conditions have dramatically changed from what they were just a couple of years ago. In fact, if you look at the wars that have been happening in El Salvador and in Honduras and a number of other places, many people would argue it's actually gotten better over the last few years. But nonetheless, we have a crisis as people have been coming in. But this is not a cheap thing to do. I mean, this is somewhere between $4,000 and $7,000 to do this. So these are not the poorest of the poor that are somehow making their way up here. They have people, family members, oftentimes that are already here in the United States that are making these payments. There's a push. I had a conversation with our chair of the Financial Services Committee about looking at cracking down at these pass-through bank accounts where significant amounts are being deposited in, and those same amounts are being taken out. They're just basically shell accounts where people that are getting payments made and withdrawn for the coyotes are using these bank accounts, and I think we need to look at those too to try to crack down.
One final thing, Bill Huizinga. The U.S. Senate is moving forward with a bill aimed at ending tax breaks for U.S. companies that ship jobs overseas while boosting tax incentives for companies that return jobs to the U.S. Republican leaders in the House argue that the issue needs to be part of comprehensive tax reform. It might not be decided until after the November elections. Tax reform is one thing, but slapping companies for shipping jobs overseas sounds a little punitive.
Well, it's interesting to me, Gary, because they're not really looking at the root cause. And the root cause is both our tax structure and our regulatory structure. And that's why we saw companies like Perrigo, frankly, who this inversion or this going after a foreign company like they did. They bought an Irish company, and they then became an Irish company. They moved their headquarters on paper to Ireland because it was significant cost savings to them. And what I don't understand is why my colleagues are just going to somehow try to disallow that versus trying to fix our own tax system. That to me seems a little backwards.
Bill Huizinga, the congressman from Zealand, joins us every Thursday morning for a conversation. Wish you and your family well this coming week, and I'll talk to you next Thursday.
Hey, sounds good, Gary. Thanks.